Hello and welcome again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My prayer is that these Bible teachings are encouraging your life, that they're teaching you something, they're strengthening you. And my name is Matthew Manona, by the way, and my wife Victoria and I are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You know where we are, in Churchill, Tennessee, on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center. And remember, if you come by the Wash and Word any time during the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, tune your radio to 107.1 FM. We play verse-by-verse Bible teachings all day, every day at 107.1 FM. So we want this parking lot to be known as a place where you can come and hear the Word of God being preached and teached or taught in all of its entirety. See, that's why we do verse-by-verse. We believe that God's Word should be taught in all of its entirety, that none of it should be left out, none of it should be taken out, none of it should be overlooked. And so by doing verse by verse, we're forced to preach any and all of what God's Word says. And listen, if you're honest with yourselves, wouldn't you agree that we need more of the Word of God in today's society? You know, we have enough churches, we just don't have enough of the Word of God. So that's why we created the Wash and Word, to get the Word of God out there in a way that's unorthodox to what we're used to, but that's okay. Unorthodox is good sometimes. No great revival or move of God ever happened by sticking to the norm. And so we're stepping out and doing something a little bit different here. So if you have any questions about the business or the ministry, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can find out everything you need to know about the ministry and about the business. And you can also download and listen to the messages that we've already recorded, of course, for free. Everything's for free. We want our motto here is we want to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So we never ask for any tithes or charities or donations. If you support verse by verse Bible teaching, if you think this world needs the whole counsel of God, support us by coming by the Wash and Word. Let us, like Paul, work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry alive. And that's what we do. We work by washing your car by hand. We do a good job. Our prices are fair. You can read reviews, real reviews, by going to Google and typing in Wash and Word, or go to washandword.com. All right. Enough of the commercial. Let's get back to what we're doing here. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and hopefully we'll finish chapter 15. Paul's dealing with the resurrected body, and he's trying to address a lot of the questions that the 1 Corinthians church, the Corinthian church had. He's addressing them here in his first letter. And these are questions that are still being posed today when it comes to trying to understand what our resurrected bodies are going to look like. Friends, can I start out by saying you will not and cannot understand what our bodies are going to be able to do, what they're going to look like, what the realm of the eternal and celestial heaven is going to be. We have bits and pieces. We can fragment some of it together, but the things of God are higher than our minds can possibly comprehend. And so we're going to look at, and we've been looking at, the resurrected body through a dim light, if you will. And we're just trying to piece together the bits and pieces Paul has been talking to us about. And in our last message, again, you can go to washandword.com and listen to it if you missed it yesterday. We're on the air Monday through Friday, WMCH 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. That's when we do these teachings. Also, if I take a second to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship, Sunday nights at 6 p.m., 415 Old Union Road in Churchill, Abundant Life Fellowship. That's where I do the live verse-by-verse Bible teaching Sundays at 6. Anyway, Paul's doing a lot of back and forth here in the middle, the end of chapter 15. And what I mean by that is he's doing a lot of comparisons with what the natural body is like versus what the next body is going to be like. And we left off talking about how we're all going to die and our bodies are going to rot. And this shell that will one day no longer be is just that. It is a shell that houses and encompasses who we really are. Our soul and our spirit is the seed that is in this body, and this body must die like any other seed must die before it can become fruitful and turn into something else. And this is the point that Paul's trying to make, and that I just gave you about three of our last messages in about a sentence there. But again, you can go to washandword.com and listen to those again. But let's pick it up in verse 45 of chapter 15, and Paul's continuing here in his comparisons of the body. And so he says in verse 45, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. the last man. I'm sorry. Let's start over. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And then after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man, he's talking about Jesus, was from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So let's stop right there. That is very interesting terminology Paul is using there. It's almost unnecessary. Paul, he's almost confusing us with the way he's wording here. I could really sum that up. He's just saying that, you know, the first man, the original man, Adam, came from dust, and from dust shall he return. And from the Adamic nature, the sinful nature of the fall of man, all man is now born in our flesh into that Adamic nature, which simply means we're born sinners. But Jesus, coming from the Heavenly Father himself, was born of spirit. And the second man, that is Jesus, will never die and taste decay, but he will be raised into perfection through the resurrection, the ascension, and the glorification. And if he is going to be raised that way, so too are we who believe in him. So that's a much better way of putting that. But Paul words it this way. He's basically, what he's saying is there are really only two Adams, a first and not a second, though it kind of looks like that. But he's saying a first and a last, and both of them are heading up the human race. The first one coming from dust, that is from flesh, and the second one coming from heaven, or the spiritual. Adam was formed from the dust, but was breathed of spirit, breathed of life from God, and became a living being. That is why you and I have a soul, and we have a spirit. We're not just flesh. Just as animals are soulless, fleshly creatures, we are not, because God has breathed his life into us. God made the spiritual connection right there at creation, because he knew that a spiritual Adam would need to come later and would further marry the spirit together with God as it once was. You see, from the moment Adam and Eve sinned, God began to prepare the way for Jesus. Adam, a second Adam, would need to come later to restore all things, to regain that spiritual connection that the first Adam had in the garden when he fellowshipped with God before it was lost in the fall, before mankind died a spiritual death. Fallen man was ruled no longer by the spirit, but by the soul. We became ruled by our emotions and by our will and by our minds. And every human being after that was born that way. That is why we are a descendant of the first Adam, born spiritually dead. And then we enter the last Adam. And that is why we are called born again Christians. We are born, reborn into the last Adam, which is another way of saying Jesus. And then he comes into our hearts, into our souls. And Jesus, through the Spirit of God deposited into our lives, we are now made spiritually alive again. Hallelujah. We are no longer led by our emotions and our minds and by our wills, but we are led by the life-giving Spirit of God. And some of you might say, well, I don't feel led by that. I've accepted Christ, but I am still so led by our emotions and my mind and by my will, and so infrequently led by the Spirit of God. Listen, you're still human, but you have now been given the power and the ability to be led by the Spirit of God. Whether or not you're creating an environment that is conducive to that leading is up to you. See, most of the people I've talked to who are struggling still with their flesh and their selfish mind and their thoughts and their actions being led by what feels good, and they're still being led by their fleshly nature, even after accepting Christ. Again, we all do it a little bit. We'll struggle with that till we die. But those who are truly struggling in that area, I can tell you right now, it's unanimous. They're not reading their word. They're not praying. They're not fellowshipping. They're not doing the simple things God told us we need to do to stay in contact and in tune with the Spirit, thus allowing us to stay in tune and in contact and fellowship with God Himself, just as it was in the garden. So when we are born again, we receive a resurrection of the Spirit. And that resurrection of the Spirit awaits the resurrection of the body. And so we wait for that glorious return back to what we were meant to be, what we were in the garden before we fell as a species. And so we are again baptized by the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. And so that reality is true in terminology. But again, whether we are baptized by the Spirit, whether we are led by the Spirit, whether we are endowed by the Spirit, indwelled or overtaken, or it is upon us or in us, whatever words you want to use, it's always going to be subjected to the conduciveness of your life to the flow of the Spirit that is now inside of you being able to flow out. All right. The Bible says, do not quench the Spirit's fire. Yet that's what we do consistently and continually. And again, we do this by ignoring the simple teachings that Jesus gave us, that Paul has given us. And those teachings are, I call them simple because of how simple they are in instruction. I know they're not easy to do. Anything that is hard to do in the flesh is going to be beneficial in the Spirit. So it's hard to do the church disciplines. It's hard to do the spiritual disciplines of fasting and praying and of charity and of self-sacrificing. Sometimes it's hard to do these things. God never said it was going to be easy. Jesus said, you will suffer in this life. You will have troubles and trials and tribulations, but take hold. I have overcome this world. I have given you a spirit, a deposit. I've given you a peace of God that will one day go back to the Heavenly Father. And that Spirit that dwelleth within us gives us the power to live a life God has called us to live. The job of Jesus is to bring those things that have been controlled in the past by the soul and the mind back to being controlled by the Spirit. 1 John 3:2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. Brothers and sisters, we are, as believers, partakers in the kingdom of God, partially in our heavenly suits and partially in our heavenly homes. And this one truth, this one transformation from the old Adam to the new and last Adam should affect everything that Paul has spoken about in chapters 12, 13, and 14. And again, go to washandword.com if you want to listen to those messages of chapter 12, 13, and 14. And that is mainly talking about our service to God and to others. And because of this one truth of the transformation from the old to the new, it should affect everything that he talked about in chapters 1 through 11. Mainly, in a word, our walk. Our walk as Christians. What a conclusive way he is creating to end this fantastic letter in 1 Corinthians. Well, we didn't get through all of chapter 15, but we'll work on it again in our next teaching. Join me here Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH, 1260 a.m. radio. Join me at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And come by 24/7 anywhere in the area of the Wash and Word, tuned to 107.1 FM, and you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teachings all day, every day. And when you come by the Wash and Word, let us know you're hearing these teachings. It's very encouraging to us to know that we're making a difference in your lives, and that's what we hope we're doing. You have a blessed day.